Good morning, church. It's great to be with all of you. How many of you recognize this? The picture. Anyone? Captain Planet. Who watched that? Anyone? Is it what? Who still watches? There's like a couple hands. All right. Very cool. This is a weird family. We are definitely weird. It is great to be with you. I've got some energy today. I have a narrow pathway, so I'm probably going to pace a little. If I fall this way, awesome. If you're nervous, and I just pray for me so I don't go in there. It is awesome to be with you. If this is your first time here, we are thrilled to have you with us. We are celebrating baptisms, which is one of the beautiful things that Christ gave us to do. I'm an experiential ed kind of guy in the background, so I love kinesthetic learning, experience by doing, and this is one of the beautiful things that he gave us two sacraments to remember him and to obey and to follow, one being the communion where we break bread and the juice, the blood, remembering his body broken for us and his blood shed for us. The other is baptism, where he commanded us to do this. And it is awesome because we as a body of Christ, as a family, get to watch those who are saying, hey, I'm in the family. He's my father. I'm a son and daughter. I'm following him. He saved me. He died for me. He lives in me and gave me new life. We get to watch this proclaimed as people go in. And honestly, and obviously for those who are going in the water, it's amazing because it proclaim so much truth of what they've already experienced in their life inside, and now this is kind of an external experiential experience that we all get to be a part of and witness and watch the truth of what's already happened on the inside, getting to watch happen on the outside. Baptisms are awesome. I would love our energy to rise as we go closer to this time, all right? So here we go. We are a weird family, and my wife and I, we are weird. For a lot of reasons. When I met my wife, one cool thing about her is she had this friend that she had kind of been a mentor, almost like a little sister her whole life. That girl was in high school when I started hanging out with my wife. And it didn't take long to hang out with her a few times, and this girl would basically say the same thing all the time to me. It's like, Jay, you're weird. And I'd be like, yeah. Like, if you hung out with me, you'd be like, yeah, she's probably not too far off. Like, you are weird, Jay, that's great. And she would say, Jay, you are weird. And every time I had the same response, I would just look at her and say, you're right. Everyone's weird, and it's just a matter of time until you realize it. And so every time, like all the way through high school, into college, she was saying, you know, Jay, you're weird. And I'd be like, yeah, everyone's weird. It's just a matter of time before you realize it. So in college, she started to come back and be like, you know, you're kind of right. Like, there's a lot of weird people out there. And then she got through college, and she's married, and she's got a career and a master's, and she's working, and has a house and all this. And I don't know when it happened, but sometime in the last 2 years, it just, like, struck me. I was like, oh, my word. Because she came and she said, Jay, you're right. Everyone's weird. And I was like, yes, you get it. Not from the sense of like we're strange and bizarre, which we are for many reasons. But if you think about the context of like the reality of what the word weird is, if you Google it or you Webster Dictionary, do people still carry those? I guess you do on your phone. No one has like hard copies anymore. But if you were to look up the definition of it, this is the definition. Weird is something supernatural or uncanny. Supernatural or uncanny. That's the number one definition. Number two is the strange or the bizarre. And number three is it's like archaic, that it is connected with fate. And I look at that and I go, yeah, everyone's weird. Like, we're supernatural. No one was meant to just live for this earth. Like, we were created to last, to walk with God. And then after the fall and sin and brokenness that we rebelled and we've all gone our own way, Christ said, no, I'm coming. I'm going to send my son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That we could connect with him and believe in what Christ did on the cross and what he did defeating the grave, to have faith in him and to live forever with him. This is what it means. It's supernatural, just the idea of Christ. I mean, he is God, fully human in the flesh. And so when you think, is this a weird family? Absolutely, we're a weird family. This is supernatural. And someone who literally is connected to the fate of everyone is at the center of it all, Jesus Christ. And this makes sense when you think of Ecclesiastes 3:11, where it says, God has put eternity in the hearts of men, but we can't fathom it. He's put eternity in our hearts, the heart of humanity, yet we can't fathom what he has done from beginning to end. We just know there's got to be more than this life. Like, we're created for something more. It can't just be we just poof in existence, we live, we die, and that's it. No, there's got to be something more. And people long to have a lasting
life, a legacy that outlives them. They want to go on and on, and this is what Christ came to do. And the early church was seen as weird too. Like, this weird family is not something new in our culture that are like, oh, now you're weird. It's weird to be a Christian. No, like, this has always been weird, okay? The people, the followers were like, the guy you crucified and executed, yeah, that's God. People are like, you crazy. That's weird. You're different. But this is what the early church believed. And there was three guys. This is in the 150 years after Christ, in the first couple centuries. There was in the city of, I'm going to look it up so I don't slaughter it. Ostia, on the coast of Rome, three guys were walking. Kind of sounds like the intro to a joke. There was a friend, and then a pagan, and then a Christian. And it wasn't a joke. You can actually look this up. It's a whole conversation called the Octavius of Mincius Felix. And it's this conversation where the friend, they were walking along and they came to a Roman god, an idol, and the pagan went down to give honor to it, and the Christian said, ah, no way. And it broke into a conversation. So the pagan looks at the Christian and says, you Christians are the worst breed ever to affect the world. You deserve every punishment you get. Nobody likes you. It would be better if you and your Jesus had never been born. We hear that you are all cannibals. You eat the flesh of your children in your sacred meetings. To this, the Christian says, that story is probably based on reports that we share together a meal of the body and blood of Christ. That we do, but it is not human flesh we eat. It is bread and wine we consecrate to commemorate our Lord's death. It amazes me you give credibility to these rumors of cannibalism. You know that what we're like. Keep in mind that you, if you have a child that is a girl, but you wanted a boy, or if the child has a deformity, you simply don't want it. What is done? You leave the child outside, exposed to die. The pagan says, you know that is far more merciful to let the baby die than to bring it up in a home where it is not wanted. The Christian said, we do not expose our children, and you are well aware how so many of the little ones that have been left out to die have been rescued by Christians and given a home. So it's just the opposite of what you accuse us of. We don't consume human life. We rather protect and defend it. Isn't that awesome? This 150 years into the church. Everyone around is just thinking it's weird. Like the practices of breaking bread and wine was like turned into cannibalism. That's what people were thinking from the outside looking in. Not only that, the idea of baptism was known in the culture, but it was always like when you did it for another religion, you wash yourself. This one is totally different. Because you're going to go down in the water and you're going to do something that you can't do for yourself. Someone's going to help you be baptized. That you're literally going down in the grave with Christ and coming up out of it. And we're going to talk more about why we get baptized and what that looks like in just a minute. But before we go on, the fact that Christ came into the world to show us how to live in this family, this supernatural, crazy family, we do two things. One is baptism. We follow him in that. The other is we follow his example that's laid out in Matthew 20, verse 28. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so this morning we have an opportunity. Yes, we're celebrating baptism. We're also celebrating serving one another. We have tables out front. You've kind of already heard that. After the service, go out there. We have donuts. We have coffee. If you're already serving in the church, we want to just thank you and honor you in that way. If you haven't served or you're like, oh, I'm just kind of new here, awesome way to jump in. Not just small groups, those are amazing, but jumping in and serving. Why? It's just what we do. In my own family, I had an example of this, my father, where he served all the time, friends, family, and we would, like, to this day, anytime someone moves, it's just like instinctual, go help. He was always like one of the first ones on the ground, one of the last ones to leave. He'd help fix stuff, paint stuff, whatever, if someone's moving. My grandpa was the same way, and I remember this quote from my grandpa, where he said, you know, when he was coming up on retirement, he said, yeah, I'm retiring, but as a Christian, you never really retire. You just change where you serve. Because that's what we do in this family. We serve. We serve one another. How many of you coming in today had someone help you park a car out back? Anyone? Raise your hands. No one drove here. Amazing. How many, when you came in the door, someone smiled and greeted you and said, hey, so good to see you. Welcome to church. Yeah, hopefully everyone. How many of you are sitting in this place and can see right now? Yeah, we have lights on. There's people running that. We have a screen. Someone filled this with water. All right, there's people serving inside this auditorium, outside the auditorium. And during the first service, parents show up with little kids, littlest disciples, and we get to love on them because people serve there. And give an opportunity for parents to come in here and engage with God without someone tugging, going, mommy, mommy, mommy. Right? It's awesome. We get to serve one another. So I encourage you, before we go any further, as this service gets over, go out there if you are interested to serve the family of Christ. Like, we're called to serve everyone around us, but definitely in the house of God to serve one another. And we get to do that each and every week on Sundays. And it's beautiful. It's an awesome opportunity to build, connect with others in the church on a team, and just love the body of Christ every Sunday, making this service happen. And so you'll be able to do that after the service. Now we're going to transition. We're going to talk about following the other example of Christ, what it means to be baptized, why we do it, and what it looks like. Before I go on, just let me pray for our time. Lord, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we get to come together as your family and be a witness to the proclamation of baptism and what it means and why we do it, Lord. Lord, I pray that your presence would be here in our midst, that your spirit would reign, Lord, that your name would be honored and elevated, Lord, that we can be reminded that we are in this amazing family with a good, good Father, all sons and daughters, and that we could celebrate what this means and what it means for those who are being baptized. Lord, we thank you for this privilege. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So as you look at baptism, what it's about, why we get baptized is to follow the example of Christ. Like, he himself, he got baptized. If you remember, he went into the river. John the Baptist was baptizing people. He went in, and they were like, John's like, no, you shouldn't do this. Like, I need to be baptized by you. And he goes, no, we need to do this to fulfill all the law. He goes down in the water. He comes out of the water. The Father from heaven speaks and says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes down so everyone can see what's happening in power of God onto Jesus. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all wrapped up in this moment. This is the example. Like, he did it himself. That we get baptized because we're following the example of Christ. Another reason is to obey the command of Christ. We've gone through this over and over this last month. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, says he came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So he's the one in charge. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the beauty in that is that he has all authority. He's the one in charge. And when we follow the command of Christ, we're literally saying, we're following you. You are Lord of my life. You are in charge. It was all about me. It's all about you now. I'm no longer going to live myself. I'm going to live for you. And then the third reason is just to declare publicly that you're a disciple of Christ. You're just saying, I'm in. I'm not going to hide this anymore. I love Christ and what he did for me, and I am in this family. This is my family, which is beautiful because some of us, we have families or backgrounds that maybe we're just embarrassed or ashamed of, and we don't know if we want to call and like own our own family. And this is just amazing. Christ is like, I don't care where you come from. You're my family. I'm adopting you. Jump in. And that relationship we have with him and the family we have with him actually helps us live out relationally with those around us. And he can bring you to a place where you look at your family, it might be shameful or like, I don't want to own it, to where you can go, no, it's great. I love it because ultimately God has used this and brought me into this his own family in this process. And so those are the reasons why. So what does it actually mean? Baptism proclaims Jesus' own death and resurrection. It's a picture of Christ, he died, he was laid in the grave, and he rose again. And our disciple, our union with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Colossians 2:12 says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. So this is a picture. It proclaims his death and resurrection and our union in that death and resurrection. The next thing it does is cleansing and washing away of our sins, which this takes place in our own heart. Like, this is already taken place when we believe and confess. And when we confess that he is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, this takes place in our heart. Titus says this, once we too were foolish, disobedient, we were misled and being slaves, became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We deserve the cross. We have sinned. We've disobeyed. We've gone our own way. And Christ says, no, I'm going to send my Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's mercy. We deserve the cross, and he took it. And he says, he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. This happens the moment you believe, that he gives you the Holy Spirit. You're clean. You're washed through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, grace is getting what you don't deserve. So mercy is not getting what you do deserve. The cross, grace is getting what you don't deserve. You're a child of God. You're in his family. You have a good father. He has washed you clean. You can never be separated from his love. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. It's the hope that we have. And the beauty of that is even in my own life, when I was baptized as a freshman in college, and I was really starting to own this and saying, yeah, I'm in. Because I was embarrassed by the family of God. I was like, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want people to know. I want to go to heaven. But I don't want to live it here. Anyone can relate? This is not uncommon. And I was like, no, I'm all in. Because if he did this for me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that he died for me. I started living. I got baptized. And then God kind of like, you know, puts the little fire under it. Like, well, let's just see how this goes. And I don't know that's all from him. But I'm working at a climbing gym, and we have signs that represent our names that when you come in, you can see the names. And everyone's putting like little trinkets. You know, this one, you know, he's got some camera, and he's a photographer and something else. You know what they put over my name? Because they knew where I was a Christian? They went down south to the Bible Belt, and they found Wash Me Away Sin Soap. That sat above my name tag. So anyone who came in to climb at this gym is like, cool, cool, cool. Jay, whoa. Can I have a different instructor? Like, they were, you know, persecuting. And in that time, God led me to this verse, 1 Peter 4:14. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed because glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. And I said, thank you, amen. I am washed. I am clean. That's an awesome reminder. And the Spirit of God rests on me. And I wish you had him too. The freedom, the ownership of, yeah, I'm in this weird family and it is awesome. You should join us because you're weird too. And so this is the fourth thing that it represents is the new life we have as disciple in our walk. This comes from 2 Corinthians 5. It says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. That your old life is gone. That he paid for it. We come out of the water, it's new life. We are risen to new life from out of the grave. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Like, he's weird. It's crazy that you killed this guy and you say he's Christ and he was in a grave. And what? This is just nuts. No, how differently we know him now. He was the Son of God. He did die for me. He did defeat the grave. And he lives in me. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Isn't that beautiful? This is what baptism is. It's a proclamation of his death, our union in his death, that we are washed and clean from him, from all sin. And then that last part, that we have new life. We're risen to new life. And so we're about to get a party up in here. Because when one sinner repents, it says the angels rejoice. Like, heaven goes nuts the moment someone repents and turns to Christ. And then the Father spoke from heaven when Jesus was baptized. And this is all about the family of God. People saying their little story is just being soaked up in God's big story. Their little story is being soaked up into God's big story. And it is reason to celebrate. And so we're going to be getting on our feet in a little bit. We're going to be worshiping. When people go in, I hope it's just nuts in here. Like, crazy. Like, we are celebrating what God has done for these men and women. And one of the best ways to kind of introduce this time is literally just to have the men and women who are getting baptized to come up and share their stories so you can know a little bit more about what's going on. And so we're going to do that. We're going to start by welcoming Katie up.